We're doing Rav Chalap, and our topic is Shabbat. Rav Chalap says we have two types of momentous occasions in Judaism. We have Shabbat, we have Yom Tov. The concept of Shabbat is Kviya V'Kaima. Hashem created the world. Every seventh day is Shabbat. It's set, whether you like it or not, whether you did something about it or not, it's there. There's a reality in creation. Every seventh day is Shabbat. Yom Tov is the Jewish people's doing. We sanctify the times. We declare the new moon. We declare the holiday. If that were the whole theme of the holidays, then all you needed to do was to bring sacrifices, to do the mitzvot of the day, shake your lulav, build your sukkah. But what about the holiness of the day? Shabbat is holy in an intrinsic way. Says Rav Chalap, is it the sacrifices and the mitzvos that give the holiness to the day? Or is it the holiness of the day that causes us to be obligated with these mitzvot and korbanot, with these sacrifices?
I didn't understand the question.
Is it because we do the sacrifices and the mitzvot that the day is holy? Or is it because this day is holy, we have a mitzvah to do these sacrifices and mitzvot? Is the holiness of the day intrinsic, and that's why Hashem gave us a mitzvah on this day to do these things? Or is it that the day becomes holy because I do these things? Which way does it go?
Would it not be the second way? Because then we can make every day so holy by doing the same sacrifices.
Well, obviously we're commanded to do it on these days. Meaning I can't, if I shake lulav today, it doesn't make it into Sukkot.
Right, but why do we have to do it on Sukkot? Because on Sukkot it's the holy day.
Okay, he's focusing on the idea that we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim, that Hashem says, I gave holiness to Israel to sanctify the times. Sounds like we're sanctifying the times.
Or that Hashem is sanctifying the times in addition to sanctifying Israel.
Okay, but his point over here is that our sages are teaching us that by us being given the mitzvah to sanctify the times, we have the capacity to make the day holy, which will then make the day have these mitzvot. Meaning, it's not that by my doing the mitzvah of lulav and korbanot, now the day is holy as Sukkot. It's that Hashem said, sanctify the day, you make kiddush, you declare the new moon, you declare the holiday. When you declare it, the day became intrinsically holy like Shabbat. Now that it became intrinsically holy, you have the mitzvot that are obligated by the day. Meaning it's not, Rav Chalap described two options, he says it's a conjunction of both. And that's the idea, says Rav Chalap, that the Torah sometimes calls the holidays Shabbat. The Torah is telling you that the holidays also have this element that they can have their intrinsic holiness. It's not only the day of the mitzvah. No, when Israel declares the day is holy, now the day has intrinsic holiness, which then gives you the mitzvot. It's not that through the mitzvot you made the day holy. It's not that because the day is holy you have the mitzvot. It's that you have an obligation to sanctify the day. If you've imparted that holiness onto the day with the kiddush, with the declaration of the day, with the declaration of the court, now the day is intrinsically holy. Now that holy day makes you responsible for these mitzvot and sacrifices. The exception, says Rav Chalap, is Chol HaMoed. We know we have the middle days where you're allowed to do work. So on those days, it's called Chol HaMoed. Those are days where through your sacrifices, through the mitzvot, you're actually giving holiness to the day. When we speak about the first day and the last day, those days are days that get intrinsic holiness. They get their own light. The Talmud says that if the Jewish people had not transgressed with the golden calf, then we would have been on a level where our world was Shabbos. We would have a constant Shabbos. That means, I got a phone call. A person called this week and said their mother is in an old age home. And in the old age home, so she's very elderly and she needs help. She can't clean herself. So they take her and they shower her. So the child, not a child, their grandparent, the one who's asking the question, said, is it okay that non-Jewish people are cleaning off my mother? So I said, why not? So they said, shouldn't we insist that they bring Jewish workers? So I said, are they doing a good job? Are they treating her nicely? Are they careful on how they... They said, yeah, they're doing a fine job. So I said, you know, the Rambam writes, and this is a concept we see in many places, every person has a task in this world. You have a task to do mitzvot. Every person has a job. Then you have people, they don't know about Torah, they don't know about mitzvot, and they're not finding out anytime soon. That's the life they're leading. What can they do? So their job is to help people, and help people, ideally, who are doing what's right. So these workers, they're doing their job. What are they supposed to do in this world? They don't know about Judaism. They're not interested right now. They're not, what are they doing? They're fulfilling their purpose when they're helping someone. That's their job. Why would you take that from them? Why do you think you have to go and run out and tell the staff of the nursing home, go find me Jews? What's wrong? So they're not Jewish people. So what? They're doing a good thing. If they're doing it well, they're doing it right. So Rav Harlap says, when the Gemara says that had we not transgressed with the golden calf, we would enter a world that was all Shabbos, who would plow our fields? Who would harvest the fields? So he says, right. So then the task of anyone who didn't join us would be to be our partner in that way. That was part of the idea of Esav and Yaakov. He doesn't say this. It says in other sources that if Esav says, I don't want to be the one who serves Hashem, leave me out of it. So his job is fine. So you support him. You want to go work. You want to be in the fields. You want to hunt. Fine, be a partner. If you can't be the one who's doing it, so at least partner with the one who's doing it and support him. So when the Torah says that had we not transgressed, the Torah is saying we could have been on a level where we wouldn't have had to go out to work. The nations would have said, we admire you, we respect you, we want to partner up with you. We're going to support what you're doing. And then the Jews would have had Shabbos all week long. No one would have gone out to work. They would have spent their day in spiritual being. That's where they would have been. Then comes the Egel. The Jewish people say, we want to do other things. We want to dance around the golden calf. The Jewish people are interested in the joking, the frivolity that goes on with the golden calf. And Hashem says, oh, so you're not interested in my being with you. You're not interested in the level I was offering you. Then Hashem says, okay, so then I have my own home. The Gemara says, before the golden calf, there wasn't a need for a Mishkan. Hashem was in everyone's home. Hashem was in everyone's life. When the Jewish people made a choice and said they want to cheat on their wives, which is part of what happened with the Egel. When the Jewish people corrupted their fidelity to Hashem in their own homes, Hashem said, I will not be in your homes. I will not be in your midst the way I was before. Now you have to come to a Mishkan. And at that point, we lost our status. That means we could no longer be a nation that said, we're the holy nation and the world will partner with us so that we can do our duties. Hashem says, no, you've chosen other duties. You're a holy nation, but you're not as holy as you should have been. And so we lost that status. And at that point with the golden calf, we lost the status of a permanent Shabbos, a long-term Shabbos throughout the week. And that's why when Hashem commands us about the Mishkan, says Rav Chalap, a beautiful thought, he says, right away Hashem commands us about Shabbos. You see, in the Torah, they go together. The commandment of Mishkan and the commandment of Shabbat. Meaning Hashem was telling them, from now on, Shabbat for you is one day a week. You guys could have been there, but you're not. Rav Chalap says that even though Hashem limited his revelation to the Mishkan, but that didn't limit the quantity of revelation. The same light that could have been here all week long remained in the Mishkan, but you had to be there. Now it wasn't throughout the camp. So that's what's happening with Moshe. What happens to Moshe is, why is Moshe shining? Because all the light that should have been for all of Am Yisrael ends up being just with him. Only Moshe is in a status of constant prophecy. The first time he went up the mountain and he came down, it doesn't say his face was shining. Why not? Why is the second time that he goes up more than the first time? Because the second time, the first time Hashem's revelation was for all of Israel. The second time it was for him. They'd have to tap in through him. But he, so to speak, received whatever enlightenment that was supposed to come for everyone came to him. They had declared themselves not worthy. And that's why it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down the second time, no one could look him in the face. And that's why at that point, Moshe commands them and says, 6 days you'll work, on the seventh day you'll rest. It's a reaction to the golden calf. And according to Rav Chalap, the declaration of 6 days you'll work is really the result of the golden calf. It's not so much the stress of the seventh day you'll rest. It's that you guys, you're not resting anymore. Now you're going to work. Now, what we really should be sensing as we go into Shabbat is our Shabbat should be a Shabbat that lights up the whole week. And a person is, that's what a person should demand of themselves. That the pleasantness of Shabbos, that connection with Hashem that a person feels on Shabbos, that's something that will shine on the whole week. Shabbat is higher than the rest of the week. We have to work on making Shabbat so pleasant, it should be such a force in our lives that it affects the whole week. That means that through Shabbat, I can uplift the rest of my week. You'll tell me, but wait a second, on Shabbat, it's a different world. I sleep differently, I eat differently, I sing differently, I pray differently. How's that the rest of the week is a different world? Right. If I experience Shabbat correctly, my week is supposed to be uplifted. We want a situation where what you sense on Shabbat, you feel the whole week. And then Shabbat, it's a cycle. Shabbat uplifts the week, and then Shabbat grows as well. My son has a friend, teenager, that every time he sees me, he jokingly says, Good Shabbos. It could be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it doesn't matter. He comes to our house, Rabbi, Good Shabbos. I love it, because in our staff meetings here, up until 3-4 years ago, when Rav Siegel, Zichrono Livracha, became ill, one of the rabbis who taught here was Rav Siegel, passed away this year. So he would walk into the staff meetings on Sunday, Monday, whatever day of the week it was, he'd go to each rabbi and say, Good Shabbos. And his Good Shabbos, I don't know if I get such a Good Shabbos on Shabbos. When he'd wish me Good Shabbos, I'd feel Shabbos. Oh, he's reminding me of Shabbos today on a Sunday or a Monday, and suddenly my Sunday was different. He's right. Shabbos is just around the corner. It's only 6 days away.
You treat students that way also. Oh,
yeah?
Yeah.
So it's amazing. It's amazing. I can't do that. I'm going to burst out laughing if I do that. But I appreciate when someone else does it to me. It's beautiful. Says Rav Chalap, we try to make our Shabbos such that it uplifts the whole week. Remember, we were supposed to be there. We're supposed to be on a week where I don't have to be so focused on the mundane. We went down from that level, but we try to uplift it. We want to take the Shabbos with us to the whole week. Rav Chalap says, invest in nice Shabbos clothes. A person might say, you know where I'm holding, leave me alone. I'm not keeping Shabbos the way I should. I'm not, my Shabbos, you know what? I should spend my Shabbos in pajamas. Says Rav Chalap, no. Shabbos is supposed to be sanctified. And invest, as much as you can invest. You can buy cufflinks, buy cufflinks. You can buy a nice suit, buy a nice suit. You can buy a nice shirt, buy a nice shirt. I remember I was once with a friend of mine. He told me, I have these friends. Come for Shabbos with me. I go to them once a month, they're the most amazing family, they make the greatest children. Come with me for Shabbos, they're happy when I bring guests, fine. I come with them for Shabbos, amazing family, beautiful Shabbos. In the middle of Shabbos, their 8-year-old girl comes out, and she goes to him, Charles, he was like a Ben Bite in the house, he goes, yeah. She says, Charles, you always forget things here. So he goes, really? She says, yeah, you slept in my room last time you were here, and you left me something in the room. Okay, we're all sitting at the Shabbos table, and this sweet little girl says, should I go get it for you? So he goes, yeah. So she goes and she comes back to the table with his underwear. So we're sitting there at the Shabbos table. And he looks at these like fancy blue boxers, and he looks at them and he goes, "That's my Shabbos underwear." So he wasn't even embarrassed. So she comes to him, you know, she's an 8-year-old girl. She didn't know it. She was embarrassing him. And he's like, "I was looking all over for these." And I sat there thinking, Shabbos underwear. Okay, I could learn something from this guy. That's an interesting thought. Never thought of that one, right? He has special underwear for Shabbos? Okay. Says Rav Charlap, invest. Invest in the Shabbos. We want to make Shabbos special? My friend Charles, it's a made-up name, he's onto something. He's got it right, you know. In every way that a person can make it special, whatever you can afford, right? Don't go spend your last penny on this, but whatever's in the range of what you can afford, so then you make Shabbos special. We contend with challenges throughout the week. And those challenges can wear a person away. You look at people, and sometimes you see people where you get the feeling they've stood up to the challenges of life. They've had their challenges, but they look like they've dealt with them. Then you see people who you get the feeling the challenges of life broke them. Everyone has challenges. No one goes through this life unscathed. The question is, how do you deal with those challenges? Says Rav Charlap, one of the tools that gives us strength, that gives a person the ability to stand up tall, in spite of the challenges he faces in life, is when he can take that designated day and make that day into a great day. When a person lets the challenges of life trample on his Shabbos, so then the challenges of life are winning him. When a person can say, "I'm sanctifying the Shabbos, I'm making Shabbos special," what he's saying is, "I'm connected to Hashem, and all the challenges of my whole week, well, they stay outside because my Shabbos is special." And that uplifting that a person creates on Shabbos then shines onto the rest of his week. That's what we're trying to do. And so Rav Charlap says, invest in the Shabbos. Invest in glorifying the Shabbos. Invest in enjoying the Shabbos. People can see challenges in their life where they feel like, "God's not with me. If I have such challenges, Hashem's not on my side in this world." A person will sometimes feel despair. A person will sometimes feel like there's no cure. There's no way out. Well, says Rav Charlap, a person should know that those feelings only come when a person separates himself from Shabbos. A person who connects to Shabbos will not get that feeling. He will have that day where he knows he's connected, and slowly that day will uplift the rest of the week. Remember, he began with the idea that our whole week was supposed to be Shabbos. Ordinarily, says Rav Charlap, the reason that a person gets frustrated is because they allow themselves to connect to a hedonistic lifestyle. Our frustrations very often stem from our connection to the mundane, to the desire for the physical. But if a person can focus his connection to the mundane through Shabbos, there was a kid who I taught who was very into his looks. Like, he could stand in front of the mirror for a half hour making sure every hair was in its right spot. Very into his looks. Okay. Says Rav Charlap, when a person can take that tendency that he has to connect, you could sometimes hear people talking to one another for 20 minutes about which restaurant makes the best meat. Where is the best place to go out? So they're very focused on the physical world. You know, in Rav Soloveitchik's home, he wouldn't allow them to talk about food. You were never allowed to talk about food in his house. He said, how could a person talk about food? Food is just something you need in order to do your duties. But you're going to start talking about whether the meat was rare or not, and you prefer this salad, this soup or that soup. He wouldn't allow that in his home. Rav Soloveitchik, that was the level he held his home on. He said, you can't talk about food. You should be embarrassed that you're so into the mundane to talk about it. Okay, we're not on that level, right? My wife asks me, and we make the menu together for Shabbos, because she wants. If it were up to me, she'd make it alone. But she wants to make the menu together, we make the menu together on Shabbos. We talk about food. Says Rav Chalap, when a person wants to expand his mundane world, when he's connected to it, he can do it through the Shabbos, because on Shabbos there's a mitzvah. So on Shabbos, when you're choosing the right apple, when you're choosing the right piece of meat, when you're focusing on the physical world, you have a channel to focus your desires in a positive way. And then it'll spread out over the week, because then a person suddenly learns that he can channel those desires to the Avodas Hashem, to the service of Hashem in his life. A person can be tempted on Shabbos to forget that it's a holy day. And a person can be so focused on all the physical of the day, the chulent he's eating, the sleep he's getting. It should be the other way around. On Shabbos, a person has to stop and think about the holiness of the day. On Shabbos, a person should stop and tap into the prayer that he's praying. If you came to shul and now they're singing, if we connect to that song, if we try to sing with them, if we sing the Zmirot, we're supposed to connect to the strength, to the might of holiness that expresses itself on Shabbos. And then when a person can connect to holiness on Shabbat, even as he eats the chulent, even as he's doing the physical, so then he teaches himself to enjoy the physical world in a more holy way. And then, throughout the week, when he connects, he'll connect on a different level. That's how, says Rav Charlap, we evolve into a life that the whole day is Shabbat, the whole week is Shabbat. I just, for the sake of intellectual honesty, I've taken concepts from Rav Chalap, but Rav Chalap works out over here a thought which I don't know how to translate some of the Kabbalistic terms he's using in this piece. There is another theme that Rav Chalap is saying in this piece which I have not given over. I have to be honest with you. There are ideas that we took from this piece, but there is more. He does develop a whole Kabbalistic idea of the lights of Shabbos, which I can't explain, because I don't know. Don't think I know. I don't know. Okay, with that, we've learned the piece on Shabbat.